holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word. And no matter what the difficulties are, what the problems are, what our health situation is, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your grace. And we thank you for your Holy Son, salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical life, protection and provision, blessings, Lord, that you have indeed bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, help us all to be honest and confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, and understand that much of the trouble and problems and difficulties in life come from our own sins and failures, refusal to obey, refusal to cease rebelliousness and stubbornness and pride and disobedience. And so, Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would control us and lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and help us to live by your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And we pray that you'll lead us, guide us, and direct us into all righteousness and godliness of behavior and attitude and spirit, that every person in this family and outside of this family under the sound of my voice and otherwise would come to know you as Savior and act like Christians and act like followers of Christ and obey your Holy Word in every area, including being cheerful and joyful, regardless of the circumstances, and even if we're going through tribulation. For you promised us in your Holy Word, you told us, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You told us in the Old Testament that if we keep our hearts and minds stayed on you, we will keep you in perfect peace. And Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bring all things to our minds and to our remembrance in this late morning as to what you would have us to do and the things that you would have us to take care of. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us for the rest of this day in the way that you would have us to go. Order our steps and indeed direct our ways. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, you would cast out the devil and his demons and his host and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and pride out of the hearts and minds and lives of those, Lord, in this family and in Christian families and churches and ministries across the country, around the globe. For the devil is pulling out all of the stops, and he is planting as many Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases and Demases, Lord, that he can, and using anybody he can to try to hinder the gospel from going forward. And Lord, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, the devil, his demons, and his Judases, and hold these devilish people and the devil and the demons of hell at bay from hindering your gospel from going forward and your holy word from being preached. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would order our steps and indeed direct our ways throughout this morning, afternoon, and evening. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed, Lord, upon you. And help us, Lord, from this point forward today to pray without ceasing. And Holy Father God, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing, to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing, Lord, in your sight. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would place upon us the whole arm of God and surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire today, for we will need it, and we thank you for it in advance. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us not only to pray for revival, but to be about revival and actively seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, and humble ourselves before you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us throughout the remainder of this day. Bring all things to our remembrance and to our minds. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for all of our children, my children, and all of the children of Christians everywhere, Lord, that you would help them to trust in you, to believe in you, to love you back, to fear you, to obey you, to be faithful to you, and to be witnesses for you in these last and evil and perilous days in which we live. And we pray then that you would bless them salvation-wise, spiritually, family, financially, materially, physically, emotionally, provision-wise and protection-wise. Lord, and surround them with the band of your holy angels and the wall of your holy fire as they move through this dangerous world. which in their youth they don't fully understand how dangerous it is until something bad or something tragic happens. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ also today that those of us who are suddenly sick and who are not feeling well, that you would touch our bodies and heal us and regulate everything properly and right as it should be, and help us to do our part. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that indeed you would bless and anoint this devotional and be with us throughout it and then throughout the remainder of this day. And Lord, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us regarding all other things that need to be done. Order, Lord, our steps and direct our ways. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 3 million souls to come to know your Savior, 3 million Christians to be revived. And Holy Father God, we pray that over $3 million would come in support of the ministry so that we can support all of the thousands of folk who have cried out for help in prayer and sent out the Macedonian call. And Lord, we want to be a massive blessing and help to them, a tool in your hands to help get them the simple things that they need, such as Bibles and bicycles and books and food and water and housing. And Lord, I know that you're going to do it. And Holy Father God, we thank you in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Everybody pray out. Danielle, pray out loud. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House Family Devotions. This is devotion number 359. Join us in singing the doxology, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. From whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said that the greatest need in the world is the transformation of human nature. We need a new heart that will not have lust and greed and hate in it. We need a heart filled with love and peace and joy. And that is why Jesus came into the world. And that is so true. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, recite with me or read with me the, if you will, New Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Do you believe it? Born of the Virgin Mary. Do you believe it? Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Was crucified, dead, and buried. Do you believe it? He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. Do you believe it? He was then seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. Do you believe it? He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you believe it? Amen, somebody. We're going to make a beeline back to the, what I call the family verses, for I believe the devil has a stranglehold on many Christian families and families in general, simply because many Christian families refuse to do family God's way. And God's way is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we are now, verses 12 and 13. And some people who are not spiritually sensitive find it odd that I have included these verses in connection with the family. First of all, they are connected. And second of all, the devil is very much involved in your family. You need to understand that. Particularly the Christian family that means business, that prays together, witnesses together, and serves God together in church. The devil is going to be on your family like white on rice and black on me, and that's very tight. The devil is not seeking to just trip up your family. The devil is seeking to not only hinder your family, the devil is out to destroy your family completely. And so you need to know what you need to do to combat the devil against your family. Verse 12, here's what you need to understand. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers. Bigger. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Just for you, just for yours. Not anybody else's. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you're dealing with. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Dr. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, the devil and his demons are systematized. The terms used in verse 12 cannot be arranged in any definite rank or order, but they do seem to indicate an organized spiritual hierarchy of some sort. We know that Satan is the prince, the little p prince, and the little p of the power, if you will, the prince of the power of the air, and that certain demons have jurisdiction over specific earthly kingdoms. A disorganized army is not a strong army. So Satan and his forces are organized against the Lord and his church. They are a force to be reckoned with. End of quote. And I would add, not only against the church, but against individual families. We are constantly shocked and amazed at how Christians have allowed the devil to destroy their families. Some ignorantly, some who know better, but they have allowed the devil to destroy their marriages and to destroy their families. I believe that Meghan Markle professes to be a Christian of some sort. Prince Harry has to be a Christian. He doesn't have to be, but he has to be if he's going to be a part of the royal family and be under Queen Elizabeth, who I believe is an out-and-out Christian. And, by the way, head of the church over there in England. And so his grandmother is the head of the church, so he better be a Christian. But he does not have to be. We don't know. We all know that he has not always acted like one, just like the rest of us. But you can see, even with the royal family, with things so beautiful and so wonderful. And by the way, both children are coming out of broken marriages. And we're concerned about that. And even Meghan Markle has been divorced. You need to understand that there's an invisible force. It's not just flesh and blood, my friends. It's not just a human thing. Here we got a situation. We have a situation that's so beautiful, so wonderful, so marvelous. All the father has to do is get on the plane. I'm sure Buckingham Palace and the royal family is paying for it. All he has to do is stop eating those McDonald's cheeseburgers and eat right for a few days and get on the cotton picking plane, if you will, and just fly to England. Passports and all that's going to be waived because he's the father of the princess. And the devil done got into the mix already with just that right there, jeopardizing this man even going to the wedding at all, when he has a golden opportunity to walk his daughter and his daughter, who is black, he is white. His daughter is begging him to come. This is a daughter like most daughters who love her father. She loves her father and wants him there. And it's quite fitting. And no doubt one of the reasons why she wants him there, with her being black, she's going to be surrounded by a whole bunch of white folk. And she might want him folk to know, this is my father. He's white too, so y'all don't have anything over me. And her, of course, the mother's going to be there. And maybe the one to walk her down the aisle. She doesn't want that. But I just want you to see how the devil can get involved in something that is supposed to be so beautiful and so wonderful. And it happens in every family. Even the royal family, and this is no big shock for the royal family because they have been, over the past 25, 30 years, one of the most dysfunctional families in the history of the world. Big time. So this is small potatoes to the royal family. But Mr. Markle, he needs to find himself to a plane very quickly and go and do whatever he needs to do and be a part of his daughter's life when she wants him to, no matter how much he has embarrassed her. Even Harry wants him to come. But that's how the devil will do you. In something so simple, so wonderful, so beautiful, like just getting on the plane and going, man, you should be there already, eating at some beef at the in one of the pubs, and drinking something at one of the pubs, some apple cider. You say, preacher, have you ever had any apple cider over there in England? 'Cause that's the real apple cider, by the way. Yes, I had some with a Methodist preacher. We sure did. But he should be there already. But the devil specializes in messing up anything that surrounds marriage and family. Pardon me. And not to mention the weddings themselves. If you want to watch some bloopers, then you tell me the devil's not involved on marriages. Some of the greatest bloopers in the history of the world are on video. They go to YouTube, that happen at weddings. Grooms passing out. Brides passing out. Bride and groom dancing. And somehow he gets his foot caught into the bride's gown and they trip and fall and bust their head and got to go to the hospital. Grooms and brides dancing, husband and wife and swirling around and fall into the big old cake that costs $10,000. Then that triggers the burners on the table, and there's a fire. People get burned. All kinds of... Don't tell me the devil does not fight against families and weddings. He specializes in that. And as soon as those devilish bad things happen, people start murmuring right there at the wedding. See, I knew they should have never got married. People running out of the place, and that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. So let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't know all that is involved with this upcoming wedding. We as human beings, with our hearts being right with you, we wish the people well. But there are some bad signs. And we pray that people understand that you do not like ugly. You do not like disobedience. And when we violate your holy word in any way, we have a tendency to reap what we sow. And so, Holy Father God, help all Christian families to obey your holy word. Excuse me, and to do it your way and not our way, so that it can last and so that it can be real and honest and loving and what it should be, a little bit of heaven on earth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible reading passage for today is Psalm 140, verses 4 through 7. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. And there are violent people in this world who will stop you in your tracks to keep you from fulfilling your purpose in life and going to where you need to go. And just the other day, a man was walking down the street in England and ran up against somebody. And I mean, not physically ran up against, but just was walking down the street. And I believe the person wanted what he had. He was trying to rob him. And the man tried to defend himself. And the criminal, the violent man, cold cocked him. And he was out like a light. Fell backwards, straight back. No break. And there are people like that in this world, and thanks ought to go to God if you have not run across some. But there are some people in this world who will blow your brains out while you are not pleading with them, while you are pleading with God and praying the Lord's Prayer. And do it with a demonic grin on their faces. There are some people demon-possessed. And some of you Christian parents are raising demon-possessed children by letting your children watch certain things and do certain things and play violent games. I want you to understand that. And so don't be shocked when your demon-possessed child goes out and kills somebody. And all you're going to say, oh, I just didn't know. Well, you should have known. All violent people have been raised by somebody who either neglected them, did not instruct them, did not raise them properly. And so we have a bunch of criminals running across the country and around the globe, and you wonder why so many children are being slammed up against walls and slammed down on the ground, I mean young people, and shot, because these police officers are being slammed up against the wall, slammed down on the ground, and shot. And they want to go home to their wife and children, and they are almost on the edge of paranoia. And so your rebellious, stubborn child, with all of his rights, makes one false move, be they black, white, or red, or yellow, they can be blown away today. Nobody's saying whether it's right or wrong, but we have a society of a bunch of disrespectful, a country full of disrespectful who have no clue what it is to respect somebody and to respect the law, because they don't even respect their parents. Some of you parents tolerate a whole bunch of, excuse the expression, bull from your children, who talk to you any kind of way, say anything to you. My children know they cannot talk back to me. They cannot say anything back to me. My word is final, and that's it. If I hear just a grumble, that is an old-fashioned butt-whipping. My children know they cannot call me by my first name. They never have. They don't even know my first name, as far as that's concerned. You got children calling you, your children that you brought into this world. And the old folks used to say, and I'll take you out of this world, talking to you like you're their friend or enemy. You got to be kidding me. And so they take that garbage out there into the street and show their behinds to the police officer. And the police officer is not going to put up with it. Because the job of the police officer is not to raise your child, your violent, devilish, demon-possessed child, who will end up killing him if he don't get killed first. See, what about my rights and so forth? No, let me tell you something. You better talk to your children and teach them to respect authority. I've never been slammed up against the wall by a police officer. I've never been slammed down to the ground. And I live in a mostly white area, with police officers who have never tried to befriend me. But this has been throughout my life, because I learned when I was younger somehow that you need to respect authority. I've never called my dad Daniel. I've never, that sounds funny even coming out across my lips now. I've never called my mother Shirley, unless I've said it publicly in a positive way. No. I'm an old man now, and I still say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am to my mom. My dad is dead. I say yes, sir, to him. They never taught me to say that. I just know to do that. Older people, I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. White, black, red, or yellow. Police officer, yes, sir, here's my paperwork hanging out the window for you. Bam, there you go. Whatever you want to do, let's do it, whatever you want to do. And most time, because of my attitude, because I act like I have sense, they just give me a warning. White officers who do not know me and do not necessarily like me. We're surrounded by violent, devilish people. We don't need any more, so raise your children right. That's all free. Verse 5, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Don't you want the Lord to hear your prayers? Oh, man, it's wonderful. Allow me to read that in your hearing again. I'm not in a hurry today as I was yesterday, folks, so there's no telling how long we'll be. Verse 6 says, I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Because God is your God, you ought to be praying to your God. And the Bible tells us in Psalms that God is a prayer-hearing God. Amen, somebody. I don't care what you're going through right now. Pray to God about it. And let His will be done. Verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. The strength of my salvation. Do you have salvation? Through Christ? Then God is your strength. You're not, obviously, because you have salvation through Christ, you're not your strength. Stop trying to be your strength. Keep your eyes on that right there. Your strength is in God. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Has God protected you? Has God provided what you have needed to while you were in the battle? Has God blessed you? Has God led you to be victorious? Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. I reminded my family on yesterday, very clearly, that everything that has been done through this family and through the ministry over the past 40 years, God has done it, God has provided, and you are witnesses to that. Because you never had a father who did anything else but serve the Lord. Now, how in the world did we make it? 5 graduates from college. Some have graduated with multiple degrees. Only 3 more to go. And God has provided food to eat for 9 people in this family with a father who all he did was preach the gospel and live by faith. Never working a secular job for any length of time. And a stay-at-home mother. You all are witnesses to what God has done. Ministry-wise, family-wise, provision-wise. And you witnessed another miracle on yesterday. Some have seen it. My boys have seen the miracle. The rest of the family has not seen it yet, but they're going to see it this morning, and it's going to blow their minds. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give Him the honor, for He's the one who did it all. And like Billy Graham said, where God guides, He provides. You can bank on that. That's not in the Bible. But every true missionary, every true evangelist, every true pastor will tell you that where God guides, He provides. God will protect you. God will provide for you. God will open up doors for you. As the old saints used to say, God opens up doors when there's no way through. I'm not getting it exactly how they used to say it, but God opens up doors when there is no way. He will just blast it wide open for you. And so they were right. More importantly, the word of God is right. Now, regarding this passage, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry says, the more danger appears, the more earnest we should be in prayer to God. All are safe whom the Lord protects. If He be for us, who can be against us? We should especially watch and pray that the Lord would hold up our goings in His ways, that our footsteps slip not. God is as able to keep His people from secret fraud as from open force. And the experience we have had of His power and care in dangers of one kind may encourage us to depend upon Him in other dangers. And Dr. Matthew Henry is so correct. Why get scared in this danger if God delivered you from all other dangers? Why get worried in this problem when God has delivered you in all other problems? Focus on that. Why become fretful facing these difficulties when God delivered you from all others? Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop the anxiety and put your faith and your trust in God, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for the comfort of Your Holy Word, the power of Your Holy Word, and the power of Your Holy Spirit. And for the millions and manifold blessings, Lord, that You have indeed bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we thank You for Your divine protection, keeping us from the violent man. And Lord, we thank You for Your divine provision, keeping us from worry and fear, anxiety and trouble. Our trust is in You. Our faith is in You. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cast all of our care upon You, for Lord, we know that You care for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join us in prayer now for the estates, the family estate, the church estate, the government estate, the people estate. By the way, the first three estates were established by God. The first four estates were established by God because He created the people, the citizens. But as institutions, the family is number one, the church is number two, and the government is number three. And they all rule over, if you will, the people in some way, shape, form, or fashion. The way these first three estates go is the way the world would go, for good or evil, unfortunately. But it was good when God made them. It was good when God created them. The last two are the old media, which is dying, and the new media, which is online and alive and well. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for every Christian family, and Lord, we really mean that, that you would heal and strengthen and bless every Christian family. Pull them back from the divorce court and help them to realize that it is not flesh and blood, that they as Christians can suck it up and say, you know what? We're going to make this work for the glory of God and for our children. We pray, Lord, for all other families that you would draw them to yourself, that you would not give them rest until they trust Christ as Savior. For the truth is, they have no hope of true success and happiness unless they put their faith and trust in Christ. And Holy Father God, we pray for the church, and we pray that you would help us in the church, pastors and the folks in the pew, not only pray for revival, but be about revival by seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways, and humbling ourselves. Help us, Lord, to do what you said. Remember from whence we have fallen. For some had already fallen back then, 2,000 years ago. And, Lord, we know we're in a fallen state right now. So many are falling away in the apostasy. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, seek your face. Remember from whence we have fallen, repent of our sins, and repeat the first works motivated by our first love, you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the government. We are thankful to you for the great things that President Trump has done. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem. What a remarkable thing that is. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for a president who has the courage to do the right thing. And we pray that you would give the governmental leaders wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to march on forward and do other great things based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this president, as we have prayed for all other presidents since Ronald Reagan, and for his administration. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical life, protection and provision blessings upon this administration. Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, who is in the hospital, and we pray that you'll heal her body. She's doing a fantastic job under the circumstances. We pray for Second Lady Karen Pence, who's doing the same, as has all of our First Ladies have done. You gave them all the grace to outdo themselves, and many of them would be remembered just as much, if not more so, than the president that they were married to. And we pray for all White House staff, including executive assistant to the president, Madeleine Westerhout, and we pray for all leaders of federal agencies, including the Marshal of the United States, Supreme Court, Pamela Talkin, all state governors, including Wyoming Governor Matt Mead, and all city mayors, including Crestview, Florida Mayor David J. Cadle, all members of Congress, including Florida Representative Thomas Rooney, all law enforcement officials, including Crestview, Florida Police Chief Tony Taylor, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mattis, James Mad Dog Mattis, Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Robert B. Neller, leaders of nations around the world, including New Zealand's Governor, General Dame Patsy Reddy, and Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, the peace, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as so many were killed yesterday protesting the USA embassy being put in Jerusalem. What a historic moment that was. But we pray for the families of the people killed tragically during that time. And we pray that you would comfort those families as only you can. And we pray that you would have your Holy Spirit not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. But help everyone to understand in that area of the country and around the world that everything begins in Jerusalem. It is no doubt the holy city, the holiest of all holy cities. It is remarkable that the three major religions of the world are have holy sites in that wonderful city, the city of David, Jerusalem. And so we pray for the modern day David, in my opinion, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is doing a bang up job. We pray that you'll bless him and keep him in office as long as possible. And Lord, we pray for the people. We pray for the citizens, including the Palestinians and all other people in this world, and that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Gospel will not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And we pray for the media, the old media and the new media, that they would tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events, most of them sad around the world, not to inform you, but to obey you, because you already know about them, and you have commanded us to pray for all people. You said that your house ought to be a house of prayer. We pray for the comfort of the families and church families of 10 people killed in suicide attacks on 3 churches in Indonesia. We pray for the peace of Myanmar, where nearly 20 people were killed in rebel attacks this weekend. We pray for the comfort of the families of 26 people killed in an attack on a village in Burundi. We pray, Lord, for the pastors and preachers who will be marching in Nigeria against Boko Haram and the attacks on churches there. Comfort these people as only you can, and be with them as they are going through persecution. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the prayer requests that have come in from hundreds. Thank you for the privilege, and we pray for all of the people for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings to rest upon them. And, Lord, we pray that you'll hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers. as well for them. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would hear and answer their prayers and meet their needs. We pray for a few by name. We pray for Gina. Please direct and protect her, her fiance, and her son. We pray for Anita. Please be with her and guide her. We pray for Eric. Please provide him with the money he needs for his daughter's medical needs. Lead him to good people who will help him. Bless the mission crusade he will hold soon. We pray for Samuel T. Please be with him and help him to grow in you. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for Jenny Yulu, Jasmine, and Motaz. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Help us to be the disciples of the disciples that you want us to be until we leave this earth. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Kazia. We pray for Brooke. We pray for Rita. And help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians, Lord, that you want them to be. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, now we are at the point of our devotional reading. And the title of our devotional reading is Love Despite Ourselves by Dr. Billy Graham. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible, Dr. Billy Graham says, teaches that all our righteousnesses, falling short of the divine standard as it does, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. There is absolutely no possibility of our manufacturing a righteousness, holiness, or goodness that will satisfy God. Even the best of us, even the best of us is impure to God. And please understand what Dr. Billy Graham is saying here. Even the best of us are unholy and unclean in God's sight. Thank God I know some good people. I know a preacher right now whose wife had a stroke and he has not flinched and he has not wavered. And he's there every morning and every afternoon pulling for his wife. And he's been faithful, and this has been going on for years now. Good people. I know of another preacher who rarely, a day goes by, that he does not pass out a gospel tract or witness to somebody. And I know another person who is suffering in a hospice type situation right now, a hospital type situation. Good man who did the best he could, and the devil has fought against him. Good people, but none of them are clean in God's sight. And we all need to remember that, and we're no better than anybody else. We're all unclean in God's sight, and that's why you need to get under the precious blood of Christ. Jesus Christ is the only man who ever lived who is clean in God's sight. Amen, somebody. So stop thinking you're all that. You're better than somebody else just because you have not done such and so, such and such. Just because you have not done so and so, and all of that. Because we are some proud people, and we'll make a point of pride out of anything. Well, I haven't done that. You should hear. And I don't want to get into it. I don't have time. I remember, Dr. Billy Graham said, I remember one day when my wife was doing the washing, the clothes looked white and clean in the house, but when she hung them on the line, they appeared soiled and dirty, in contrast to the fresh fallen snow. Our own lives may seem at times to be morally good and decent, but in comparison to the holiness and the purity of God and Jesus Christ, we are defiled and filthy in spite of our sins and moral uncleanness. God loves us. He decided to provide a righteousness for us. That is the reason that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross as the Lamb of God who took away the dirty sins of the world. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for providing the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who took away the sins of the world, including ours, our filthy, nasty, dirty sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, as Christians, please forgive us of our sins and wash them away and cleanse them away in the blood of Christ and all of the things that accompany sin. Take that as well, the pain, the guilt, and remove it from our consciences, our minds, our hearts, souls, and spirits. And Lord, with that removal, bring your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today and to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shalt be saved. If you're willing to do that this morning, pray with me this simple prayer called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. And ask God to save your soul through Jesus Christ, through your faith in Jesus Christ. And He will. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you, that I am a sinner, that I have broken your Ten Commandments, in the sense that according to your holy word, if I broke just one commandment, I broke them all. Forgive me of my sins of lying and bearing false witness. Forgive me of my sins of lusting after people and things. Forgive me of my sin of stealing other people's things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to know that I do this every day, and it never gets old. That's how important, that's how wonderful God is, and that's how important and how wonderful Jesus Christ is. It never gets old. In fact, every time I share with you, dear friend, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does me just as much good that I hope it does you. I cannot explain it. It energizes me. In fact, I am more excited about your hearing the gospel than you probably are in hearing it. That's how wonderful Jesus Christ is. He never gets old. You can ask anybody who's trusted Christ as Savior. He never gets old. He is never boring. Is always exciting. He's constantly giving us joy and peace in the midst of changing situations, difficult situations, double crossing by devilish people, attacks, persecution. You need to know that many of the Christians who were burned at the stake and who were fed to lions in the Colosseum of Rome, they went down singing, hymns to God with a smile on their face, thanking God for allowing them to be persecuted in the name of Jesus. That's how powerful knowing Jesus is. So this is the most important thing you've ever done in your life. So for more information, my beloved, to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Just like you said you would.